time for some SoCon Lacrosse Fever. And it's our episode here of our College Crosscast suite of conference tournament conference outlooks in 2019. I'm Ryan, joined by Chris and Jake, as we go on to the conference that never disappoints in entertainment, in terms of getting kind of nutty. And SoCon is going to probably be as nutty as ever. Richmond's still your solid favorite for the conference, but there's a lot of teams looking to knock them down. And, you know, we still got the rise of Jacksonville still going on. Air Force is a year removed from all the controversy. And you've got a lot of teams in the same hunt for that fourth and final spot. So without further ado, let's preview the SoCon. And we'll start off with that Air Force team. Last year, clouded by the hazing allegations and a lot of uncertainty. This year, they get to start anew. New coach, players that have been suspended are gone, some fresh blood, and the Falcons looking to put all that behind them and into a return to form for the Falcons.
It's a great sentence, Ryan. Really, really strung that one together. Really.
It's one sentence poetic to describe the Air Force Falcons.
Ah.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did. Interesting.
Now, Air Force plays slower than anyone in the country, which I'm not saying that necessarily matters, just something to point out. This is the slowest team in college lacrosse in terms of offensive pace. They also don't really score any goals. They scored 7.6 goals per game a year ago. They lose Nick Ruby, who was their top scorer. Do have Matthew Schwartz and Trey Lervick back. They have Cam Carter back as a junior. I just mentioned that because I went to high school with him. Faceoffs, they were okay. Defense wasn't particularly excellent either. It was 59th in adjusted defensive efficiency. I mean, the uncertainty plays its part, but it just wasn't a very good team last year. And I don't know. I don't know if I see it really necessarily improving. They were lost one goal to Jacksonville in High Point, so I suppose, you know, you flip those two around, they were 5-2 in the conference. They also lost to Mercer, you know. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really see them being a factor in the race.
I think the whole controversy kind of hurt their season last year, and they seem like last year they could have been a team that was mainly, you know, not that good in non-con play, but all right in conference play. Maybe that changes this year to them being kind of good and making it back to the SoCon tournament. Nick Ruby, their biggest loss. Matthew Schwartz had 8 assists a year ago and 16 goals. Trent Harper went 53% of the faceoffs. He actually, I think, remember a couple years ago when he was taking on Trevor Baptiste. He did an all right job. He hung himself in there. 68 ground balls, and then the whole defense is pretty much, for the most part, new. And in terms of close defense, Jeremiah Hemi, or Hem, excuse me if I butchered his name, 12 cause turnovers. Vince Lombardi had a very good freshman year, 15 ground balls and 11 cause turnovers, and he was a starter. But I think overall, a lot of these freshmen and younger guys that came in last year were thwarted in, went right up in the fire, and I think that just helped them more than hurt them. And then Braden Host comes back as a solid goalie, 8.87 goals against, but the save percentage wasn't that solid at 47.3. They'll probably fight be in contention for a SoCon spot, I would say.
Yeah, Air Force, I think, could definitely be in the hunt for the SoCon tournament. Another team that looks like that they'll be on the bubble for a SoCon tournament spot is Bellarmine. So where do we see the Knights this year?
Bellarmine is...
They have Jim Mitchell as their new head coach.
Good.
Yeah.
Mitchell was a good pull as far as a hire. and they were a bad offensive team a year ago. I mean, just 63rd in efficiency. So I get where they're, you know, trying to go with bringing in Mitchell from Rutgers, trying to see if he can, you know, provide an immediate jolt on the offensive side of the ball. I like the hire because, I mean, it's not a bad defensive team. They gave up less than 10 goals per game. They were top 40 in just defense efficiency. I mean, look at the games they lost in conference. They got 9 to Jacksonville, 9 to Air Force, 8 to Richmond, and 8 to Furman, and they lost all of those games. I mean, that's not good. I mean, you know, I mean, faceoffs, they weren't great, but they were fine enough. So, you know, you look at, is there enough talent on the offensive side of the ball? I don't know, but you can kind of, you know, solve talent to a degree with pace. Again, if you want to play, you know, in the vein that Rutgers does. Of course, how much are you going against the grain, you know, with the shot clock, I guess, in that regard. But yeah, I do like the hire, but I think it'll take some time for Mitchell to, you know, put the pieces in place to play how he wants to play. But, yeah, if they can get just a bit of an improvement in terms of goals and they can keep the solid defense that they had, I guess you could see them maybe, you know, pulling off one or two more wins than they got a year ago, and that could potentially get them into the conference tournament, maybe in the fourth spot, but that's the ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mitchell comes from Rutgers. He's worked with Charlin Beattie and Henning Berg and Scott Bieda. He had some really good experiences with a good team, with a pretty good team and a very good conference. I think that'll help them in the long-term run. As for short-term, I mean, Morgan Macko, turning scorer with 25 points. Landon Trout with 16. You also have Ian Miller come back with 12 assists. They lose two other guys that were kind of like part of their strengths. Michael Autry, who went 53% of his faceoffs. He goes to Robert Morris, as I mentioned in the NEC podcast. And then Johnny Holzman, 8.69 goals against average and close to 59% save percentage. He's at Marquette now. That hurts them overall. Long-term, and I think defense, they've been known to be a very defensive team ever since, like, Bobby Schmidt, that kind of era, and even Dylan Warden, who's their goalie. Kyle Bernlohr comes in. He's going to be their defensive coordinator. Mitchell is really eyeing him to be their new defensive coordinator, and he did just that. I think that'll help them, but, again, I think it's just going to be a process of a thing. I don't think I see them making a big mark, but they did have their offense did go into double digits late in the season when Kevin Burns and Bill Tully were relieved of their duties, and they had Jay Sotheron as their interim for the last few parts of the season. So maybe they have some potential there, and it just needed a fresh face to change all that.
All right, next we go down to South Carolina and talk about Furman. The Paladins last year went a bit of a disappointing 4-10, but they were solid in conference. They went 4-3 in conference, so all four of their wins were in the SoCon to make the conference tournament. But can they rely so much on conference wins this go round?
That's a team that plays a tough out of conference schedule. So you got to go. They play Vermont, North Carolina, Denver, and Penn State. I mean, those are some really tough.
Yeah, games. And this year they're going to have a really tough go. They have Duke. They have UNC. Mm-hmm. They got Georgetown. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that always plays a tough out-of-conference schedule.
Yep.
You've got to give them that. In-conference play, the problem is you look at some of their efforts in conference play. They lost by 8 to High Point, they lost by 8 to Air Force, and they lost by 8 to Richmond. All three of their four wins in conference play were by one goal, and the one win that wasn't by one goal was by 4 over a atrocious EMI team. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they weren't particularly good anywhere on the field. Hope you want to improve. I mean, they were 33.3% on faceoffs, which is just ghastly.
Not good.
I mean, that's just beyond bad. You hope maybe you can find, you know, I mean, like Rory McGilligat was a senior. He took 82 faceoffs and won 29% of them. Alex Van de Bovenkamp was solid in goal as a sophomore. I mean, if they can get the faceoffs sorted out, like they gave up 12.1 goals against. I guess you can maybe trim that down a bit if you win a few more faceoffs. But yeah, I don't know. It feels like a team that, you know, when they lost, they lost badly, and when they won fortunately, with the exception of that one VMI one, and you could easily see that flipping the other way and them turning towards the bottom. I don't think they're going to make the tournament again this year.
No. You know, they do return a lot of their offense. 18 only, like, about, close to around 18% of their scoring they lose from a year ago. Biggest one is Jonah Moore, who had 13 goals and 22 assists. David Williamson had 27 goals. William Holcomb had 36 points. Lou Jovino, who had a very good freshman year, was not that good in his sophomore year. And, you know, I don't think he's really on the top line or even the second line right now. But, you know, maybe if he bounces back, that helps a little bit. Jake, you mentioned the faceoff. Sage Reith is a sophomore coming in this year. He went 40.1% off on his faceoffs. And then Alec van de Bovenkamp, one of the better goalies in the SoCon, underrated guy. Again, his stats didn't look like it, but Coach Richie Meads would think that he deserves a lot more credit for this team. But you know how many how many games Furman has won in outside of SoCon play overall?
Give me six.
Jake?
I have no clue.
Two. 2015 against Canisius, 2017 against Mount St. Mary's.
Yikes. And they've been around since what, 2011, 2012?
2013, I think.
And again, they do play.
They play tough.
They play a very tough schedule. Mm-hmm.
But just so seeing, you know, that the fact that they've only won two non-SoCon games is eyebrow raising.
I mean, they do at least have Hampton.
Like, they get Mount on the schedule. They've had Sacred Heart on the schedule. They've had, I mean, I guess you figure you beat them at some point down the line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Hampton could give them an opportunity at a win. But as we said, that could be a big program defining win for Hampton if they pull it also. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are they around 2014? Was 2014 their first year? I think they might have been.
2014?
Yeah, I think it was. They went 1-12 that year. That had to be their
first year. That was their first year of the program.
Yeah, so two wins in non-con play.
We're in year seven, though.
Yep.
Alrighty, next up, another team that has that moved up to the D1 ranks in this decade is High Point. And High Point's an interesting team to look out for this year. They could be in contention for the SoCon title. It's going to be a little bit crowded at the top, but High Point's looking to make their mark and get themselves back into an NCAA tournament.
I tell you, you want to see a tough knock-on schedule. Here was High Point's non-conference schedule in 2018. Duke, Georgetown, Maryland, Virginia, St. John's, Robert Morris.
Sheesh!
Yeah, all losses. They played five NCAA tournament teams out of conference. And give them credit, they lost by two to Maryland. They were competitive in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by five to Robert Morris and by six
to Virginia. That's no shame at all.
But that was a team that could put the ball in the cage against Maryland. I remember they really put the ball in the cage against Virginia as well and against Robert Morris. Problem is, you lose Connor Robinson and Christian on the attack, but Asher Nolting, as a freshman, dropped 66 points. That was impressive. He's probably the best player in the conference, and outside shot of potentially, you know, being an All-American guy this year. Davis St-Pierre had a solid run as a sophomore faceoffs, won 54%. They bring back Tim Troutner Jr. He's been a solid goalie for them for a couple years now. He's in his senior year. Once the table flip for them into conference play, beat Bellamy by 8, beat Jacksonville by 2, beat up on Furman and VMI, also beat up on Mercer. They lost a close one to Jacksonville in the semifinal. It's a really solid team. You look at their numbers. They were, on the top 40 round. They're 39th in efficiency overall, 41st in offense, 38th in defense. They play a fast style. They're third in pace. They go up and down the field. You know, this is a team, when you consider how well they played in conference. And the non-con schedule this year is a bit easier. They still got Duke and they got Virginia, but St. Bonaventure, Drexel, I think they can beat St. John's this year, UMBC as well. They'll play them in March. I do like this team. I think they will be a real contender to win the conference this year.
Mm-hmm. Chris Young is going to be a very underrated return. He's a fifth-year guy. He missed all last year with an injury. I don't know if he missed last year with an injury, but he's back. He had 21 goals a year ago. He'll complement Nolting at attack. Their midfield, they need some help. Colby Russell is a sophomore. He had 13 goals and 2 assists a year ago. Other than that, they need a lot more help. Junior Ricky Kohler had 8 points. Mitch Snyder had 6 points. So there's a little bit of a gap there. Defensively, Clayton Kroll, a very good guy who switched in the middle of the season from D-Mitty to LSM, and I think he was an all-freshman choice, if I remember that well. Chris Price as well. And then Colin Clothier, and then, as you mentioned, Tim Trautner back in net. They could be a very dark horse team to win the SoCon.
Another team that could be in contention for the SoCon is Jacksonville, kind of in the same vein as High Point, a team that could definitely make that step into winning a conference title. As we all know, John Galloway's job that he's done there at Jacksonville, taking them to be one of the more exciting teams in the college lacrosse landscape. Last year came up just short of making this SoCon winning this SoCon championship. So is this the year that Duval gets over the hump and make the NCAA tournament?
Oof, that could be. I think it could happen.
Played 9 games last year. Neither 15 games were decided by 2 goals or less, and they went 3-6 in them. You flip 3 of those games right there, that's an 11-4 ball club. It'll be tough. They lose some of the guys that built the foundation of the program up are gone, and that's always kind of a difficult thing to deal with. McLean Chick won as a senior, is graduated. Hunter Forbes won 70% of his faceoffs. That was big for them. He's gone as well. They bring Hunter Sells, struggled for them in goal. I think that's their big improvement spot. He only saved 44%. Zach Thornton's still talent there. Jeremy Winston was a freshman. He put up 23 goals. Eric Applegate was tied with Trippin for the lead in points. He returns. Give Galloway credit. He plays a lot of his freshmen. He gives them opportunities. Tommy Barnhorst and Gavin Legg both were solid defenders in year one. So you hope for an improvement on that side of the ball. This was a really, really good team last year in the SoCon. And, it's tough because you want to see how you'll do when you lose some of the guys that they lost in terms of, building the culture of that program. But it's you could really see, with the talent that he's bringing in, if they didn't get that defense up, I think that's the question. They struggle on the defense side of the ball. They were 58th in defense efficiency, but they were young. They can improve that side. I could see this team winning the conference. I do think they'll be in the conversation in the top 4. But we'll have to see how it pans out. I think this may be a team that's better by April and May, which is what matters, than it is earlier in the year.
Yeah, and they have a pretty good non-con schedule to start. After Detroit Mercy, they have Duke, Marquette, Michigan, Drexel, and then in North Carolina for 2 games in 3 days, Towson and Penn State. That is...
Yeah, some good early tests for them.
Yeah. That's a 541 non-con win percentage from a year ago, and I believe, if I look back at my strength of schedule rankings, they are a... I thought they would be better. They're 20th. Which is still good. I mean, they're 540. Their opponents are 541. But John Galloway's going to challenge his guys this year, and he's not afraid to, play some of his younger guys and get them right out of the way. And Dixon Smith was one of those guys, one of the better defenders in the country, and one of the best defenders as a freshman last year as well. Hunter Sells returns as well. Jordan Young, I've heard a lot of good things, and coming from the Philly area, he once was a commit to Maryland, then to Michigan, and then to Jacksonville. A few things got out of his way. And then another freshman who has probably one of the better names in the country, Bo Hunter, could be playing an attack, and he had a very good scrimmage against UNC last week.
Bo Hunter. Well, he See, Native American, that might help. Or First Nation, rather, because he's Canadian. That might make sense why he's...
He is from Canadian, and he is from the Hell Academy. So he is very good, which is not a surprise.
Oh.
Hell Academy. But, yep. Our favorite school ever.
Shout out to the Hell.
We gotta find that episode. I forget what episode we discovered.
Number 91, too, by the way. From Oshwegan, yes, he is Native American. So he's First a very Nation, good indoor yeah. guy, too.
So there, we can't knock him on the name, then. That's not an all-name team. That's an all-name team disqualification, then.
It's a good because name.
It's a good name, yes.
So. Right. He is actually related to Cody Jameson.
Ooh, so he's got a good lacrosse lineage in his family, then.
So I wonder if John Galloway stole it from John Desco.
Hmm. That sounds like some tasty narrative.
Yep. Also, I think Jacksonville is going with the sleeveless jerseys this year.
Oh, no.
No. All right, I take it back. I'm going to finish last.
No, that, yeah, way to go. That's one thing Galloway shouldn't have taken from Syracuse was sleeveless jerseys.
Unbelievable.
Okay, next up we'll talk about Mercer. The Bears last year went... Grab it up. They went 2-5 in conference, 4-10 overall. Might be scratching on the surface of, you know, the fourth spot. They're kind of in that mid-pack race in the SoCon. So where do you guys see Mercer?
Not well. Lose three of the top four scorers. They were a very bad offensive team a year ago. They played some decent defense at times, you know, but... Against the better teams in the conference, they give up 16 to Jacksonville, give up 13 to Richmond. Let's go 12 to Bellarmine. Bellarmine offense was not good. Face-offs and goal to play could stand to get better. Maybe that would help a bit, but yeah, I think this is a bottom feeder once again.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's at least one guy that from Mercer that leaves the program every year that's kind of good, and this year it was Matt Hughes, and he's at Loyola now. 2 years ago, it was Lucas Wittenberg, and you know what he's doing at Georgetown. Yeah. I don't know if it says a lot about the program, but Pascal Coombs returns as for his final year, 22 goals. He led the team a year ago. Keel Brennan is back at the faceoff X. He won 48.6%. Bradley Hodevall, you know, had an okay year, but he's got some competition behind him. But this could be a team that, you know, maybe, again, doesn't make the SoCon. But I think they had a really good year in 2015 where they made the SoCon tournament, but they lost in the semifinals. But they haven't been able to get back to that spot since.
All right, and then we have another contender for the SoCon crown and the consistent contender and consistent winner of the SoCon, Richmond. The Spiders are looking to... Once again, get an NCAA tournament bid. Got another ambitious non-con schedule featuring a trip to College Park to play Maryland. They got Notre Dame. They play Duke. They play Virginia. Can Richmond work their magic once again in SoCon play? Especially given that it's going to be a bit tough come conference tournament time now that High Point and Jacksonville are going to be tough outs come conference tournament time.
Yeah, I look at them and I think they're the favorite once again. I mean, there's a team that is really good between the lines and struggles a bit with faceoffs and goalie play. They only won 42% of their faceoffs and they only saved at 48%. And yet, despite this, was an 11-6 team. You know, they bring back Teddy Hatfield. Ryan Lansbury had a really good year as a freshman. Mitch Savoca also had a really good year as a freshman. Ryan Lee, a junior, so they paired up two experienced guys I have field lead with Lansbury and Savoca on the offense. Lose Mitch Goldberg. He was a solid player as a senior. Austin Brown was also a senior. Austin Cates had 53 ground balls. He leaves on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, you think if this is a team that can just get the faceoffs and goalie play improved, they could be really, really solid all around. But as far as, I think overall, as far as talent level goes, they are, you know, Jacksonville's catching up. But I think Richmond is probably overall has the highest talent level in the conference, and I definitely see them as the favorite, and I expect that they'll probably win it again.
Yeah, and another loss that Richmond had that, you know, wasn't really publicized for reasons because it's a coach. Steve Grossi, their defensive coordinator, left for Towson, who replaced Dan Cauchy there. So that might hurt a little bit with them, and especially the fact that they lose a few of their good defensive guys, a LSM, a D guy, and a short stick D middy. Blake Goodman back at goal. He had a solid year in goal as a sophomore with a 48.4% save percentage. But he's got a few guys behind him with Jack Rusbold, a former Penn State guy. But the highlight is Teddy Hatfield. Goal leader, assist leader, and points leader, near 60 points from a year ago. I still see this team as, you know, probably the best in the SoCon. But, Jake, you mentioned Jacksonville's creeping up there. I think Jacksonville's their toughest competition. They almost lost to them a year ago in that SoCon championship game. They had to win it in overtime. And even, you know, high points behind them as well, creeping up.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun race there at the top of the SoCon between those three, I think. And, you know, the SoCon's been getting better and better each year, it seems like. And especially with Jacksonville's rise and high points getting there with them. It's always good to see Richmond do well, but now that they've got some competition, I think it's really going to bring out some great lacrosse in the conference. Lastly, we have VMI.
They're the worst team in lacrosse.
So,
moving on.
Wow.
What do you want me to say? They're 1-10.
Will they get to? No, they went 2-11 last year.
2-11. Unless you
will they repeat two?
Unless you count exclude Hampton's the win over
yes,
Hampton.
Yes, I'm excluding the win over Hampton.
Okay,
that
well there
count.
You go.
That doesn't count.
Let's see their schedule real quick. They have NJIT. They have Wagner.
It's the same schedule as they did a year ago.
Talk about a bottom feeder.
Do they win two games?
They have.
Good.
Not counting Hampton.
Not counting Hampton, then one.
Maybe they can beat NJIT and Wagner. Maybe.
Again.
I don't know. They're bad. Sorry, VMI. But.
I mean, look, they lost their offensive coordinator in James Papira. He went to Arcadia, and they still have they literally still have John Bersner as their head coach, and Sean Doyle, who they just brought on as their defensive coordinator. They don't have an offensive guy yet. They still need an offensive coordinator.
It's January 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah, they have two coaches on their roster right now, their staff right now. Look, it's a military school. It's not Army, it's not Navy, it's not Air Force. It's the Virginia Military Institute.
I'm not blaming them for being bad. I'm just
they had a one goal loss to Wagner. They had a four goal loss to Furman. Their closest was a three goal loss to Bellarmine. I don't think. They will be the best team in this. They might win a game in the SoCon, but. And they have some good. They have some guys. Ryan Perotti back, 33 points. John Daniel, 31 points. They both had at over 25 goals. Kyle Walsh had 87 ground balls.
No one wants to listen to us go on and on about VMI.
All right, yeah, so VMI. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Probably last place again, sorry.
Let's go to the picks.
Okay, yeah, so this is going to be an interesting one, I think. We might diverge a bit on this because, as we said, there's three teams that you could legitimately say could win the SoCon tournament. So, minor with our picks, so it could either be the team we think is going to be the regular season champ and by default will win the auto bid, or the team that we think will be the best team in that weekend come conference tournament time. Totally up to you. Who do we think will win the SoCon?
I'm going to go Richmond again. I do think it'll be a competitive between those three teams, but I think High Point and Jacksonville might be a year away from toppling Richmond, a team that has been in that conference championship game, I think, like, every year since they joined the conference. And so, yeah, like, they were there in 2014, they won it, and then they had three straight losses and then won it again finally in 2018. I'll go Richmond. I do think it'll be a competitive conference. It's a conference with a lot of upside in the long term. But give me the Spiders for 2019.
I think Jacksonville does it this year. I think they find a way to get past Richmond, and they win the SoCon. And I think it's big for the program. It's big for Florida lacrosse. But I do see it, Jacksonville and Richmond. I think Jacksonville's much closer to Richmond than High Point is to even competing for a SoCon title. I think it's Jacksonville's year.
I'll agree with Chris on Jacksonville. Galloway's really got them to a good point, and you know, last year they showed a lot of potential, and I think they capitalized on that potential this year. That's not to say Richmond is not a bad team at all. Richmond's going to be just as good. You know, I would not be surprised if the SoCon has two teams in the back end of the top 20 come, you know, late April, May, with it being Jacksonville, Richmond, maybe even High Point gets into the fray. But, you know, the SoCon's going to have some solid teams this year. And, you know, I could see it going any which way out of three teams. I'll give the slight edge to Jacksonville, but would not be surprised if it's a one-goal game between the Dolphins and the Spiders again come May. And, heck, even if it's High Point, you know, one- or two-goal game in the SoCon title game as well. So that'll do it for our SoCon preview. Remember to catch all the other college cross-cast conference previews going out. We'll have an episode for each conference. And you could also follow us along for all your preseason content. I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at CF Jastrzemski.
You know where I'm at.
And not at as the Valley Shook _ Jake Nazar. It's Jake. Freaking Jack. But of course the main line is college_cross, so follow us along for all your news and insight all season long. Subscribe to College Crosscast as well for all the conference previews, plus all the college crosscasts that are to come. Otherwise, thanks for listening to our SoCon preview. We appreciate it. And as always, stay hydrated.